Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Zayin. Achitofel came to Yerushalayim. David was on the run, David HaMelech. He had a number of his supporters in Yerushalayim. He sent the Kohanim, Sadok and Avyasar, to Yerushalayim. He had his good friend, Hushai Ho'arki, who was supposed to be there and help him out. And now we'll see as the excitement builds. Vayomer Achitofel al Avshalom. So Avshalom had his two advisors. He had Achitofel, whose advice was as if a person would be asking Hashem directly. His advice was always right on target, but Achitofel had turned against David. There was also Hushai, who was David's friend, who was also there to give advice. At the end of Perek Tes Zayin, Avshalom had asked Achitofel and Pasuk Chof, and the group there, they should all give an advice what to do, and Achitofel suggested that Avshalom should live with the Pilagshim of David. And doing such a disgrace to David would show that it was an irreparable rift, and nobody should be afraid of supporting Avshalom. There would never be a reconciliation. People shouldn't be afraid that David would eventually become king and would treat them as traitors. So now, Vayom Achitofel al Avshalom. And that was done. But now is the next step. Vayom Achitofel al Avshalom. Achitofel said to Avshalom, Evcharono shneim osar elef ish. Let me please choose 12,000 men. V'okum and I'll get up. V'erdefo achrei David and I'll pursue after David. Haloyla. Tonight. And in these few psukim, these two, three psukim, there are a few different eitzes, a few different components to the advice. First, Achitofel says, let me right now go and take 12,000 men, which is not a lot. It's a small army, but the idea is it has to be done immediately. Let's right now get the 12,000 men, and I will get up and I'll chase after David. First of all, if I go right now, we'll see in a moment, David's men will not be able to fight, and we'll be able to destroy David's army. Also, if you go, Avshalom, it's going to look bad. First of all, you'll have compassion probably on your father. You'll be afraid to do it. It has to be done. And in general, it'll be a threat to your whole monarchy if people see the way you treat your father. It's best for you, Avshalom, if you stay in Yerushalayim, let me go, Achitofel, and I'll do the dirty work. I'll go ahead, I'll take my 12,000 men, and I'll chase after David Haloyla tonight. V'ovolov, and I will come against David, v'hu yogeya, and he's weary. Urefei yodayim, and he has weak hands. He's been fleeing on foot. He was walking barefoot up Harazesim. He's been wandering with a group of, a ragged group of men, women, and children, fleeing Yerushalayim. He won't be in any position to fight. He's weary. He has weak hands. Vacharadatioso, and I'll scare him. There'll be a tremendous fright when he sees thousands of armed soldiers ready to battle. It's only going to be 12,000, but there'll be a fighting force, and there'll be a tremendous scare. It'll be at night, and the dark they'll come. Venos kolam asherito, and everybody with David will flee. V'kesias hamelech levado, and then I alone I'll strike the king, only the king. As the only one who will be killed will be David, and I'll take care of it. But he doesn't even say clearly, I'll kill him. In other words, he says I'll strike David, and the implication is, it's understood he'll do what has to get done, but throughout the whole thing, Achitofel never directly says what he plans to do. But that's what he plans to do. And Avshalom should stay in Yerushalayim, and it won't look bad. Whatever happens, Avshalom can later on pretend it wasn't his idea. V'ashivu chol ha'amelecha. And then I'll bring the whole people back to you, back to Avshalom. Kishuv ha'kol. And there's a number of ways of explaining this. One way is the next few words. Kishuv ha'kol. Just like everybody sided with David. And David was supported by the masses. The man that you're seeking, the one that you're after, David. There was a time in his life when everybody went after him. Kishuv HaKol, everybody went after David. But right now, I'll be able to do that for you. I'll bring everybody back to you, just like they went after David at the time of his success. And Kol Ha'am Yishalom, the whole nation will be at peace. This will be, I'll just have to strike David. Everybody else will run. And then we'll just consolidate and make peace in the country. And that'll be it. It could also mean, I'll bring back all the people to you. And Kishuv HaKol, when everybody returns to you, or perhaps the same way everybody came to you, except for David's men, but now everyone, or I'll bring even those back, Kishuv HaKol, just like everyone will be returning to Avshalom, the person you're seeking. He doesn't even say what he's going to do, but it's understood. There's the Isha Shira Tomavakish. There's David. There's the one that you're after. I'll take care of him. But Kol Am Yishalom. Everybody else will be in peace, and you'll have the Malchus. You'll have the kingdom, and it'll be secure. That's Achitofel's idea. It'll be a surprise attack. It'll be quick. Some say he chose 12,000 men, as if there'd be 1,000 from each shevet, from each tribe, to recognize this is the united nation, whatever the all of Klal Yisrael, all the 12 Shevatim are involved in getting rid of David, and Avshalom will be the king. But Yishar Adover Beini Avshalom. This was the straight course of action. This was straight in the eyes of Avshalom, Uveini Kol Zikne Yisrael, in the eyes of all the Zakenim of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say that it was good in their eyes. It doesn't say Vayitav Hadavar, because Kubi themselves felt it was not really good. How can you do that to David HaMelech, who was renowned as a tzaddik and the people, and he did so much for Klal Yisrael, and also to turn against him like this? But right now the plan is Avshalom should become the king, and the straightest road, not to the White House, but the straightest road to becoming the king is to do this. Achitofel will get together the fighting force. 1, 2, 3, they'll kill David, and Avshalom will have the monarchy, and everything will be peaceful. That's the straight road. Vayishar Hadavar Beini Avshalom, in the eyes of the Ziknei Yisrael, which some say means the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin left David HaMelech after this incident with David and Bathsheba, and during these months that he was fleeing from Avshalom, the Sanhedrin left him. The Zakenim even went with Avshalom. But Rashi says, Uveini kol zikne Yisrael, Rashi says, zikne Ashmoi. They weren't normally, Zakenim refers to the elders, those who have Torah, the scholars, but here was zikne Yisrael, it was just the old people, but they didn't have Torah, they weren't the great scholars of the generation, those were the ones who backed Avshalom. But it was good in his eyes and in their eyes, and it seemed like Achitofel's advice would be followed. Vayomer Avshalom. But now Avshalom said, Krono gam l'chushay arki. Call now also for Chushay arki. I like to hear what Chushay has to say. V'nishmo ma b'fiv. Let's hear what's in Chushay's mouth. Gam hu. I want to hear his opinion also. Now again, Chushay could have felt like he was being left out of this whole thing. Or that started out, the original advice what to do at the end of last perek was basically the question was worded to Achitofel. Even though the words Havu Lachem Eitza, you should all give an advice, it was addressed to the crowd, but it was specifically, like we saw in Pasuk Chof, Avshalom addressed his question to Achitofel. And now at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, Achitofel speaking to Avshalom. And the Zakenim are there, and they approve of the idea. And yet Chushay Arki is left, is an outsider. He doesn't know what's going on. So as good as the idea is, now he's being brought in to give his opinion. But Vayomer Chushay el Avshalom. Chushay came to Avshalom. Vayomer Avshalom elov. So Avshalom said to him, Lamor saying, Kadavar hazeh, in this manner, like such words, Diber Achitofel. Achitofel said the following words. He didn't even couch it as being an advice, as this was his suggestion. He didn't want to, perhaps he didn't want Hushai to feel like he had already solicited advice, and he already had heard advice and accepted advice, and now Hushai sort of as an afterthought. But no, just Achitofel said the following words. Hanasas Tavaro, should we do what he says? Imayin, or perhaps not. Atadaber, you should speak. And the very fact that he worded it, Imayin, if not, or he's making it very clear to Hushai, I want to hear what you say. It's not just a question, is this a good idea or not? In other words, I'm telling you, let me know, Imayin, if it's a bad idea, let me know. It's not just a rubber stamp approval. I'd like you to really tell me what you feel we should do. Atadaber, and you should speak. Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom. So Hushai said to Avshalom, Lo tovo ha'etza asher yo'atz Achitofel. The advice that Achitofel gave is not good. Papam hazos, this time. Of course, he wouldn't say that Achitofel gives bad advice. Achitofel was known as the greatest advisor. But this time it happens to be it's not a good idea. Vayomer Hushai. And again, he said that and he paused a moment, let that idea, thinking that it's possible this time it's not a good idea. Vayomer Hushai. And now Hushai says, Atzei Yadata Savicha, you know your father, you know David HaMelech, Vesanoshov and his men. And he's going to prove that the whole idea of Achitofel is based on a wrong premise. He started off saying, Achitofel said in Pasuk Beis, I'm going to come to David, he's weary, and he has weak hands, he's been going through such difficulty, he must be discouraged and depressed, and he's not able to fight at all, and they'll scare him, they'll be frightened, everybody will go running, and it'll be only David there. Hushai says they have the whole story wrong. You're right, David went through a rough time, and he's reached a low point in his career. But it's not that he's ready to give up. If anything, he's desperate and he's ready to fight. You know your father, Vesanoshev, and you know his men. Giborim Hema, David HaMelech and his men are mighty. Umorei Nefesh Hema, and they're people with a bitter soul. There's a bitterness to them. Kidov Shakul Basode. It's like when a bear sees his cubs, or sees her cubs, killed. And the bear sees that the children are killed. The bear goes berserk and goes wild. And if he's in the forest, sometimes he can be cornered. But if the bear is in the open field, there's no way of knowing which way he's going to turn and who he's going to lash out at. And that bear is dangerous. Anybody knows that there's a wild bear in the field that lost his cubs. Kedov shakul basoda. They're like this bear that's lost its young ones. In the field. David HaMelech and his men almost feel there's nothing else to lose. They've left Yerushalayim. We saw they even left without proper provisions. They just left with a family. They have nothing left in life. And when they have a chance to get Avshalom and Achitofel's men, Achitofel would be leading these 12,000 men, they're not going to run away. There's nothing to run to. This is it. This is the last stand, and they're going to fight with a desperation. And not only do they feel angry, and they feel that they'll fight and desperate, and they'll feel this urge, this surge of adrenaline, but your father also knows the business. David is a man of war. He's not going to sleep with all the people tonight. Why, you think you're going to find out where they're sleeping? There's going to be a surprise attack, and everyone's going to run away. Yeah, first of all, they're going to put up a terrible fight. And second of all, you're not even going to catch David HaMelech, because I'm sure that David thought of what your idea is, and David won't be there. Behold! You can be sure this is a chiddush, it's surprising, but it's definitely now he's hiding ba'achas ha'pachosim. He must be hiding in one of the holes. Oh, ba'achar ha'makomos, or in one of the other places. I don't even know where, a cave or a hole or a ditch, or he must be in hiding somewhere. And you can't think, well, we'll give it a try. We'll send 12,000 men with Achitofel. We'll see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then we'll have to put together a military campaign. Hushai says, this is a one, you have one chance. If you make an attempt to destroy David and you fail, you're going to lose the whole malchus. You're going to lose the whole kingship. If it's going to be that initial skirmish, your first encounter with David, and those first soldiers fall, v'shama ha-shamei of Omar, the one who hears that, will hear and he'll say, there was a calamity with the people that followed Avshalom. As if you're going to try an attack on David, and your men will be killed, everyone will say, oh, Avshalom is a loser. You see, you can't fight against David. Besides the fact they'll probably figure out Kodesh Baruch Hu is with David, and David's not the terrible person we thought. Take a look, David HaMelech succeeded against Avshalom. And you're going to lose all the support. People will say there was a magefa, there was like a calamity with the people that was following Avshalom. The people that were following him. V'hu gam ben chayil. The easiest way to explain the pasuk is v'hu gam ben chayil. Even if the listener is a courageous warrior, asher libo kalev ha'aryeh, who has a heart like the heart of a lion, but when he hears that Avshalom's men were defeated, he may yimos. His heart is going to melt. There goes all of his courage. Because after all, imagine this. David HaMelech is fleeing with a bunch of men. You are now the king in Yerushalayim. You send an army against him and you're defeated. You're going to figure that's it. Obviously, David HaMelech is still a force to reckon with. Ki yodea kol Yisrael ki gibor avicha. All of Klal Yisrael knows that your father is a gibor. Your father's mighty. Uvnei chayel asherito, and he has courageous warriors. The question now is, Avshalom is hearing conflicting advice. Achitofel's painting a picture of David, who's already in the last years of his life. He's already an old man. He's gone through a lot. And the people that are joining him are a bunch of depressed and weak and weary people. They're probably going up the mountain and crying and mourning. Even if they would have been aware of the fact that Shimei ben Gera cursed them and threw dirt at them and nothing was done to stop them, on one hand you can look at it as if they're hopeless, they can't fight. On the other hand, David HaMelech has gone through a lot of difficult times. He was chased by Shaul also, and he also found places to hide in the desert. Shaul spent a long time trying to find David. All those months, years, he couldn't find David. And the men that he's with him are bitter warriors. And he's always had a small group of men with which he was able to accomplish great acts of courage. Ki yo'atzti. Because I'm giving you an advice, and it's in past tense. As if, I don't think I'm speaking off the cuff. Ki yo'atzti, I gave the advice. In other words, I've thought about this, and this is the advice that I had, and I'm still saying it now. Ki yo'atzti, what I advise is, hey, yosof yosef alecha kol Yisrael. You have to gather all of Klal Yisrael together. Midon v'ad Be'er Sheva. From all the way from Don in the north to Be'er Sheva in the south. Kachol asher al hayom. Like the sand by the seashore. You just gather together the troops and the troops and more troops and more battalions and companies. You just get together the biggest army you could. Because just remember, you're fighting David. Ufanecha hochim bakrov. And you should be there. Don't listen to Achitofel's idea. Let somebody else go and do the dirty work and he'll take care of it and David should stay home. No. You got to get together the biggest army and you'll be there and people will see how determined you are to win and then you'll certainly prevail. It sounds like good advice. But as we know, this is Hushai's whole plan as the good friend of David, because it's going to take time to get together such an army. And Achitofel's advice was always right on target. And David was weary and exhausted and he would not have been able to fight. Whatever Achitofel said was correct. But this is Hushai's idea. Uvonu Elov. And when we get together this army, that's as many as the sand by the sea, we're going to come to David. Ba'achas, or Ba'achad HaMakomus, in one of those places, whichever one it is, he'll be in one place, Asher Nimsa Shomor, he's found, and we'll come to him over there. V'nachnu alav, we're going to camp against David. We'll arrange our army for war. Kasher yipol hatal al ho'adomo. Like the dew rests on the ground. with gently, there's no opposition, it just gently falls, and you wake up in the morning and you see the whole ground, as far as you can see, is covered with droplets of dew. That's the way it's going to be. Our army is just going to camp against David like the dew. We're going to go cover the face of the earth, and there won't be anyone to stop us. Like the dew just hits the ground, nothing stops it. It's poetic. But Avshalom was a poetic person. He was a person who was able to draw everybody with his words. He could pull everyone in to his side. So I think the Das Sofrim says, could be it was like a Mida Keneged Mida. He used the power of his eloquence and his poetic expressions to draw the people to him, and now this was used against him. Hushai presents the picture in such a dramatic way that Avshalom is taken by it. But we'll fall against him, we'll camp against David like the dew. They won't remain with David or any of his men. Gam echad. Not a single person will remain. We'll destroy them all. But we got to be careful, because if you're going to do it without proper preparation and you're going to have any setback, the whole rebellion will fail. You got to plan it out and have an organized campaign and know what we're doing. V'imel Irye Yosef. And once we have this army and we come after David, what could he do? He's going to be out in the field, whichever hole, wherever he's hiding. But we have such an army, we'll get him. And if he goes into a fortified city, V'siu Chol Yisrael Asa'ir Hahi Chavolim, we can get together such a crowd of soldiers. Imagine if we gave everybody a rope and everybody went to the city with this rope. Some say like a rope ladder. And you take the rope and you throw it to the top of the wall, and then it goes over the wall, and you're able to use that to catch on, I guess, like the rock climbers. You take the iron hook at the top of the rope and you throw it on the top of the cliff, and you're able to use that to climb up. But we'll come to the city with these ropes, and we'll be able to climb on the wall of a sechavnu or so, and we'll simply pull down that whole wall. We'll drag the city out of Nachal to the raven. We'll pull the whole city away. We won't leave over a pebble. We'll have such an army. If he goes into a city, we'll carry away the city. That's basically what he's saying. David will have no way to protect himself from us. What's interesting is, not Hushai and not Achitophel. Nobody mentions Hashem's name. It's as if, you know, they don't have the audacity to speak as if their plan to kill David is approved of by Hashem. They don't ask the Urim V'tumim, even though the Aron and Sadok and Avyasa, they'd all come back to Yerushalayim, the Kohanim. No mention of asking the Urim V'tumim, or I say it's not asking as if Hashem would approve, because could be they feel that they're doing it, and but Hashem's not with them. Achitophel's idea to strike down David, Hashem is not with him, and Hushai, who's pretending that he's after David, also can't even say, let's ask Hashem how to get David, because they know that it's sort of the wrong thing, but they're doing it anyways. Vayomer Avshalom v'chol ish Yisrael. Avshalom and all of the ish Yisrael, it doesn't mention the Zakenim now, but everyone else who was there with Avshalom said, Tova atzas Hushai ha'arki. The advice of Hushai ha'arki is better, me'atzas Achitophel. He's got better advice than Achitophel. And over here, there's that asterisk signifies there's like a break in the middle of a pasuk. Bashem tziva, because now the Navi's telling you, Hashem commanded it should be this way. Lohofres atzas Achitophel hatova, to nullify the advice of Achitophel that was so good for Avshalom, levavur havi Hashem el Avshalom es hara'ah. Because Hashem wanted to bring the evil on Avshalom, that Avshalom should get his terrible punishment, and therefore, it's as if the people were persuaded to go after the advice that was not the correct way. And people ordinarily would have realized there's two courses of action. Who's correct, Achitophel or Hushai? Well, Achitophel has a solid track record. And Hushai perhaps should have been a suspicious person, because they knew that he was the friend of David. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that advice, as although it was incorrect, was the one that was followed. So Avshalom and everyone said the advice of Hushai Arki is the better one. And this was Hashem's plan, not to save David. Hashem could have saved David in other ways. But this is more of an elaborate scheme that as a result of what they're going to do, Avshalom will get his punishment. Vayomer Hushai. So anyways, I guess that was the end of the meeting. Everyone said Hushai's advice is better, and I guess the case is closed. Everyone left. Now, Vayomer Hushai al Tzadok ve'al Avyasar HaKohanim. Hushai said to Tzadok and Avyasar the Kohanim, Kozos v'chazos yotzachi sofel es Avshalom. Achitofel gave the following advice to Avshalom. What did Achitofel say? Let me put together a small force, 12,000 men, we'll go after David. Ve'ezikne Yisrael, and that's the advice he told the Zakenim, the elders of Klal Yisrael. V'chazos v'chazos yo'atzdi oni. And this was my advice. Don't do anything yet, gather together a big army, and then let's methodically come and we'll get David. Hushai was obviously concerned that even when Achitofel said his advice, the audience was receptive, and they all thought it was correct. Then Hushai spoke, and everyone said, oh, Hushai is even a greater idea. But perhaps Achitofel will again speak to the king, and the king will change his mind. Who knows what's going to be? So at the moment, it seems like David has time. But there's no knowing what's going to happen. I say Hushai was sort of brought in like the outsider. The king is obviously discussing things first and foremost with Achitofel. So Hushai instructs the Kohanim, I want you to convey the message of what transpired. Achitofel said this, and I said a different idea. V'ata, so now shilchu mehera. I want you to quickly send a message. V'agidu l'David and tell David Lamor saying, Al tolen halaylo ba'avros hamidbar. It's written ba'avros. Don't spend the night by the crossings in the desert. We read the word Ba'arvos, in the plains of the desert. But the point is, David was in this area, the open land of the desert, the flat land where the people traveled. But don't spend the night even there, because you don't know Achitofel's plan was to get you tonight. V'gam avor tavor. And even after tonight, obviously tonight you're still going to be stuck in this general area, but don't be tonight in the Arvos HaMidbar, and see to it that you should pass and get out of the whole region. V'gam avor tavor, pass over, go over the Yarden, but get out of the whole area. Pen yivula lamelech, lest the king will be swallowed up. U'lechol ha'amasherito, and all the people with David will be destroyed. He starts off saying, send a message to David. Pen yivula lamelech, even though, according to this way of translating it, it's talking about David. But he's telling David, you got to take care of yourself. You're not just a person. You are the nation. You are the king. So he told David, make sure you're not there tonight. Make sure you get out of the area. Pen yivula lamelech, because we're talking here about the king of Klal Yisrael being in danger. And therefore, no precaution is too much. It could also be pen yivula lamelech. Yivula means to like swallow, to like whisper, to something shouldn't be noticed. It's somebody might whisper to the king and to all the people with him and tell Avshalom, Hushai is not out for your good. Hushai is on David's side. And therefore, even though I gave my advice and they accepted it, but it could be they'll change their mind, they'll hear some bad report about me, pen yivula lamelech, somebody might whisper to Avshalom, as lamelech here can mean Avshalom, and all the people with him, and they'll say, do not follow what Hushai says. So, this was what Hushai told the Kohanim, Tzadok and Avyasar. Now, Tzadok and Avyasar had their two sons, and the plan was when Tzadok and Avyasar got a report, they would use their sons as the couriers to bring the news to David. And that's what happens now. V'Yehonasan v'Achimatz omdim b'Ein Rogel. Yehonasan and Achimatz was standing in this place called Ein Rogel. Ein is like a spring. And rogel means the foot, because by the spring is where you do laundry. And how do you agitate it? If the washing machine's not working, I guess you step on it. So in those days, they would put the clothing in the water, and they would beat it with their feet, that step on it, to clean it. So that place was called Ein Rogel. Anyways, they were standing in this place, which was outside the city. V'holcha shifcha v'yigida lehem, and they had a shifcha maidservant who went and would tell them the news. V'heim yelchu, said they would go v'yigida l'melech David and tell the king David. This was either a shifcha that they could trust, or it could be they told her the news in a way that she didn't realize that there was any plot or anything unusual. They just said, oh, you know, go tell my sons, whatever. It could be they conveyed the information in a way that the shifcha, you know, wouldn't be suspected of telling Avshalom. But whatever the case is, they told the shifcha to bring the news. Then Yehonah son and Achimatz, who were the sons of Avyosef and Tzadok, would bring the news to David. Kilo yuchlu leheiroz. They couldn't appear lovo hira to come into the city. There's no way that Yehonah son and Achimatz could go into Yerushalayim and meet with their fathers, because Avshalom knows that Tzadok and Avyosef were with David. David sent them back to Yerushalayim. All of a sudden now their two sons come and speak with them. And then they're leaving in the direction where David is. It would be so clear that there was a plot. Yehonah son and Achimatz stayed out of the city, as if they had nothing to do with their father, nothing to do with what's happening with Avshalom. They stayed in this place. And the plan is a shifcha, which looks innocent enough. It's not a regular woman, doesn't look suspicious. The shifcha would go and just bring them the news. Vayar osam nar. But although the plan seems like it would be good, a nar saw them. A lad, a young boy, saw them. Vayage la Avshalom, and he told Avshalom that, you know what, I saw a shifcha go. She spoke to Avyosar and Tzadok, and then she went to the sons. And he immediately realized there's something going on. And not only that, but Yehonah son and Achimatz realized that they were noticed. It was noticed that a shifcha came to them and they were leaving in the whatever direction. So Vayelchu Shnei Mehira. They both went quickly. They knew that Avshalom would send men after them. They had to hurry. Mehira. On the other hand, they figured they can't run. They can't make it too obvious. So they walked. But they walked quickly. Vayelchu Shnei Mehira. Vayevo el beis ish. They came to the house of a man. Bivachurim. In the city Bachurim. Now Bachurim was the city where Shimin ben Gera, that we talked about previously, he was the person who came out and he cursed David HaMelech. As David was going up the mountain, he came out cursing and throwing stones, and he came from that city, Bachurim. But that was the city they went to. They left this Ein Rogel, this place where they were by the spring, and they were going in that direction. They had to hide. They ended up in the city, Bachurim. V'lo ve'er b'chatzeiro, and this person had a well in his yard. Vayer Dusham. So they went down into the well. The Ralbag points out, one of the lessons you see from here is, it's like sometimes, and he says this is a lesson for all tzaddikim, there are tzaddikim that suffer, and for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a punishment. And they're suffering, and they're having a hard time. But very often, in the midst of their suffering, they can see that Hashem is with them, and there's a certain hashkacha. Here, no question about it. David HaMelech is going through terrible yisur, and his son turned against him, and it seems like, and he's on the run, and who knows what's going to be with him. But when we look at the story, we noticed some things that are just in the place, Bachurim, he finds a place, and it's his luck that there's a well in the chatzer, in this yard, even though we mentioned there was an Ein, we'll see in a moment, there was water around that place. There was a Michal Hamayim in Pasuk Chaf. There was water available, but there, mazel was, this guy had a well. And you don't normally look for people in a well. Especially, we'll see in a moment, Vayir Disham, they went into the well. Vatika Chaisha, now they obviously, it seems to me they didn't discuss this with the woman. They just quickly went to whatever house, and it was lucky that there was a well. So they went into the well, and the woman happened to be on their side and helped them out, even though this was in the place Bachurim where Shimi ben Gera must have been a prominent leader. He was one of the great Chachamim, and yet he was the one who cursed David and was so against David. This woman, Vatika Chaisha, in fact, there's a medrash that says they ended up in the house of Shimi ben Gera. The Me'am Lois brings down. They ended up in the house of Shimi ben Geirin, who was his own wife, who now helped out these men who are going to help David. But anyways, the woman took, we'll see what she took in a minute, but Tifra says Amosach, and she spread over a curtain, al pnei aber, over the well. So she covered the well. But Tishtach alav harifos, and she spread out on that crushed wheat. They would take the wheat kernel, and they'd soak it to remove the husk, to soften the husk, and then they pounded it, and they crushed it, and then they put it out to dry. So when you come and you see refos, these crushed grain drying in the sun, you don't usually put it there for a few days or a few hours. It stays there for a while until it all dries out. So she put that right over the well. Now, if it's a well that they're using for water, and they're going to constantly be using it, that's not a good place to put out the refos. So it wasn't known. Nobody suspected that there's anybody hiding out in that well. So they might have known that Yehonah, son of Achimatz, were going in that direction. Maybe they even suspected of that house, but they didn't think that it'd be in a well that's covered with these refos. The servants of Avshalom came to this woman, Habais, into the house. And they said, "Ay, Achimatz, Yehonah, son. Where is Achimatz and Yehonah, son?" And the woman said to them, "Ovru michal hamoyim." They crossed over a michal of water. And Rashi says this word michal is eni yodea lo pisur. And Rashi says, I don't know what that word means. Where does the word michal mean? A michal of water. But in the context, it would seem to mean it's like a river. There's a current of water, and they crossed over the river. Vayivakshu v'lo matzo. So the servants of Avshalom looked in the area, but they didn't see Achimatz and Yehonah's son. They didn't see these men. By Yeshuva Yerushalayim, they returned to Yerushalayim. Part of the Hashkocha even could have been, it was to David's betterment that they noticed that these men were going to David. Again, we don't know exactly. But perhaps they would have decided to follow Achitofel's advice. But once they saw that messengers were going to David with the news, they certainly couldn't follow Achitofel's advice. Imagine if immediately they get together the 12,000 men and they decide they're going to go after David. But there's already messengers going to warn David. There's a good chance they'll be too late. So they certainly can't do a surprise attack. So they didn't. Vayi achrei lechtam, and it was after the servants of Avshalom went on their way. Vayalu me'abe'er, Achimatz and Yehonasan came out of the well. Vayelchu, and they went on their way. Vayagidu l'melech David, and they told the king David. Vayomru al David, and they said to David, "Kumu, get up, ve'ivru mehera samoyim, and quickly cross over the water. Ki chocha yo'atz aleichem Achitofel, because this is what Achitofel advised against you. Achitofel would like to see it, a quick surprise attack. So you better make sure to leave the area." Vayokum David. David got up, v'chol am asherito, with all the people that accompanied him. Vayavru es hayarden, they crossed over the Yarden. Ad or haboker, and by the morning, ad achad lo nedor, not a single person of David was left behind. Nobody was missing. Asher lo over es hayarden, that did not cross the Yarden. Again, we don't know exactly how long transpired this whole process from the time that Avshalom made himself the king, and that David was fleeing, and Avshalom came to Yerushalayim, and then he got together the advice, and then the messengers left. But when David did get the advice, and as we know, there was a 6-month period, Chazal say, that David was on the run, that the Sanhedrin left him, and he felt abandoned as a punishment. But whenever he got this news, he left that night with all of his men. As we mentioned, there were men, women, children, there must have been a few thousand, but that night they all crossed over the Yarden. V'achisofel ro'o, Achitofel saw, kilo nesesa atzosam, that his advice was not followed. V'yachvosh es hachamor, so he saddled up his donkey. V'yokum, and he got up. V'yelech al beiso, and he went to his house. El Iro, back to his city. V'yitzav el beiso, and he left instructions. His last will. Vayechanak, and he choked himself. He strangled himself. Vayomos, and he died. Vayikover v'kever oviv, and he was buried in the grave with his father. Of the family plot, v'kever oviv. Achitofel knew what he was in for. again, he was, Achitofel was now, would be obviously David HaMelech's enemy number one. He had gone with Avshalom, and he had given the advice that Achitofel had said, he would go after David and kill him. And the advice would have been successful. And the news was being brought to David, exactly what Achitofel said. But they didn't follow his advice. Hashem saw that they didn't follow the advice, saw to it that they went with Hushai's idea, to delay and to do nothing now. And Achitofel knew his advice was right. He knew who he was. He knew that if they follow his advice, they'd succeed, and if they don't follow his advice, it's going to fail. And once they didn't follow his advice, he knew that that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was helping out David again. David will definitely get back the throne, and he's a marked man, and he preferred to take his own life, which he did. The Gemara says, even to show how far his thoughts went, he was a chacham. I mean, he was a wise man, as twisted as he was and as wrong as he was. But if somebody's killed by the king, the haruge melech, if they're killed by the king, their property and everything is confiscated and taken by the king. If somebody's a morid b'malchus, he rebelled against the king, he is killed and everything is confiscated. Achitofel didn't want David to get his assets, didn't want him to get anything from his estate. So what he did was he came to his house, vayitzav al beis, and he left instructions who should get what, and he gave everything away in his lifetime. Vayitzav al beis, he left at tzavo exactly what should be done. And then he killed himself. But now, whatever he gave away, he gave away. You know, he took his whole affairs and he took stock of everything and he distributed everything, made sure that David got nothing, wouldn't get it. And the Gemara learns out from there also, Vayitzav el Beiso, that if a shechiv meira, a person who is on his deathbed, is about to die, leaves instructions, normally a transaction requires a kinyan. As if I say, I'm going to give you something, so I shouldn't change my mind. But if I change my mind legally, I can tell you today I'm going to give you the car, and tomorrow I say, I'm not going to give you the car. I change my mind. Unless you make a kinyan, you do some legal transfer that the car becomes yours, I can always change my mind. By a shechiv meira, a guy's on his deathbed, and he says the car goes to him, or the money goes to that person, whatever he says is as if it's written and signed. It's like it's written and like it's given over, the documents are given over, it's final. Because this way, Chazal said, a person on his deathbed is very often concerned what's going to be with whatever he says. And he should have the comfort of knowing that whatever he says goes. As normally in life, the rules, the legalities, by a shechiv meira, it's allowed that whatever he says we follow. By Yitzavo Beis, all he did is he just gave instructions. By Yitzavo Beis, he gave the command. And that's all he needed to do. He just said what should happen, by Yechanak, and then he killed himself, and there he was buried, Bekever Oviv, and his father's grave. The Gemara discusses this in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. And also mentions a number of things that he, by Yitzavo Beis, he also gave them his ethical instructions, and he gave them other advice. He told his family different ideas. One of them was, he said, don't rebel against Malchus Beis David. I guess he learned his lesson. He realized that's it. You know, he wasted his life. But he told his descendants, don't turn against Malchus Beis David. I guess David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Malchus Beis David is eternal, and don't go against them. The David bo Machanoyim. David came to this place Machanoyim. V'Avshalom over Asayardin, and Avshalom crossed over the Yarden. Who v'chol ish Yisrael imo? He and all of the men of Klal Yisrael, they all came together with Avshalom to confront David. Oh, actually, I'd like to one last thought on Achitofel. Again, it's another one of those examples of a villain in Tanakh doesn't even get a mention unless he's a special individual. And this Achitofel, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, at the end when it talks about Chol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Lolam Haba, it says Achitofel is one of those people who do not have a Chelek in Olam Haba. The Gemara, though, also says, Achitofel and Doeg, if we talked about Doeg way back, he was sided with Shaul against David. But Doeg and Achitofel, these people, had 400 questions in one of the esoteric areas of Halacha, Migdol HaPareach Ba'avir. There's different explanations what exactly that means, Migdol HaPareach Ba'avir. But there was some area of learning, and they had like 400 questions on that whole sugi, on that whole discussion. Now, these were actually from the greatest Chachamim, and exactly why he was turned against David, we've mentioned, could be Achitofel realized that Malchus would come from him. And it did. His great-grandson was Shlomo HaMelech. But he was upset that Shlomo's mother, Bathsheba, had been married to Uriah. It was his granddaughter. And David had taken Bathsheba. Could be that was part of his reason. Or could be he had reasons, alpi halacha and alpi whatever, hashkafa. He felt that Avshalom deserved the throne and David HaMelech didn't. But there was obviously some character trait that blocked his clear vision of what should be done and what's proper. And because of his own shortcomings, he was misled to take the wrong course of action. So he sealed his own fate in this world and in the world to come. But David had gone to Machanoim, so that's it for Achitofel. Achitofel's finished. We don't know exactly how long it took for Avshalom to gather together his army, but eventually he got together the army, and Avshalom crossed the Yarden. He and V'chol Yisrael Imo and all of the Jewish men were with him. By the way, the city Machanoim was the city where Ish-Boshes, after Shaul and his sons were killed in war, there was one son, Ish-Boshes, who became the king. And the first city he went to was Machanoim. Could be Machanoim was a fortified city. It was an Aver HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan. And that's the city where David HaMelech went. Perhaps he felt to be most safe there at the moment. And Avshalom crossed with his army. V'esamosa som Avshalom tachas Yoav al hatzavo. Amosa Avshalom placed instead of Yoav on the army. He changed generals. The army of Klal Yisrael was led by Yoav ben Tzeruya. Now that Avshalom took over, Avshalom switched the commander. And he took Amosa. Who's this Amosa? V'Amosa ben Ish. The Amosa was the son of a man. The simple meaning is it was a great person. It was a man that deserved to be mentioned. V'chazakta v'yisa le'ish, like Shlomo, like David told Shlomo. You should be a man. Meaning you should be a valiant, a great person. V'Amosa ben Ish. He was the son of a man. Ushmo Yisra HaYisraeli. And the name of his father was Yisra HaYisraeli. Now his father was a great person. And Divrei HaYomim, it calls him Yisra HaYishmaeli. Could be he lived among the Arabs, so whenever he was among the Jews, they called him Yisra HaYishmaeli. He's from the Arabs, because that's the people he stayed with. But among the Arabs, among the people of Yishmo, they knew that he was Yisra HaYisraeli. He was the Israelite. And the Gemara actually has a drasha, it says in Yevamos, that he was Jewish, Yisrael, of course he was Jewish, but he was like an Arab who carried the sword. And when there was a question, how is David allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael? David comes from Moab, and we know Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bikal Hashem, Moab can't marry into Klal Yisrael. This person, Yisra, put on his sword. And he said to anybody, I have a Mesira, it's Halacha, without a question that Amoni v'lo Moavi, Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, the women are allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. And whoever doesn't believe it should be stabbed with the sword. He was very forceful about this. So that's why he was called Yishmaeli. He was like the Arab with his weapon. But Ushmo Yisra HaYisraeli, but he was Yisra HaYisraeli. Ashaboel Avigail Bas Nachash. He lived with Avigail, the daughter of Nachash. It seems to be, I think it's the Radak points out, that could be it wasn't a marriage. It was, she was a Pilegesh, or maybe they separated. It doesn't seem, the simple meaning is Avigail was Amos's mother. and Yisro was Amos's father. Who is this Abigail? Ashebol Abigail Bas Nochash. She was the daughter of Nochash, Achos Tzruya, the sister of Tzruya, Ein Yoav, the mother of Yoav. It's a little bit of a difficult pasuk to digest. There's so many names and the relations here. But basically, David HaMelech had two sisters. One was Tzruya, one was Abigail. One sister, Tzruya, had a son, Yoav. That was David HaMelech's nephew. Yoav ben Tzruya was in charge of the army. And it could be David was from such a prominent family that Yoav was known as his mother's son. He wasn't known by the father, because the greatest person in the family was the one who was from David's family, so he was called Yoav ben Tzruya. And some Mefarshim say that's why it stresses Amasa ben Ish. Amasa was the son of a man, because his father was so great, he wasn't called Amasa ben Abigail. In other words, Amasa was a different nephew. David had a sister, Tzruya, whose son was Yoav. There was another sister, Abigail, who had a son, Amasa, which again is David's nephew, but it's also Avshalom's cousin. So what Avshalom did was basically is he removed Yoav from being the general and took a different cousin. He was a cousin with Yoav ben Tzruya, right? His father David and Tzruya were siblings, and he put a different cousin in charge. And Chazal say, if they're all the children of Yishai, Abigail and Tzruya and David are the children of Yishai. Why is it called Nochash? And the Gemara says, because Yishai was a tzaddik who died because of no averus. He died because the Nochash, when the snake gave an advice to Adam, to Chava, and the Adam that he ate from the Eitz Hadas, it was decreed that nobody lives forever. So because of the Nochash, that's why Yishai ended up dying, because of the snake, and that's why he was called Nochash. The simple meaning could be that he was dangerous to Klal Yisrael's enemies like a snake. But Nochash here means Yishai. Vayichan Yisrael v'Avshalom, Yisrael and Avshalom camped, Eretz Hagilad in the land of Gilad, which again is on the other side of the Yarden. Vayihin it was, kevo David Machanoyim. David came to the city Machanoyim, and there were three people who came to help him. V'shovi ben Nochash, there was Shovi ben Nochash, Merabas b'nei Ammon. And he came from the capital city of Ammon, which was Rabas. I believe now in Jordan there's a city, Rabbah. But Rabbah was the capital city of Ammon. And Shovi ben Nochash came from there. Could be here, I assume his father was called Nochash, perhaps because he was dangerous to the enemy, like a snake. It's funny that he did have the word Nochash right here. But Shovi ben Nochash, Chazal say, is we had in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud. David was looking, he wanted to do a favor with the king of Ammon. David had left his family when he was fleeing. He left his family with the king of Moab, and the king of Moab had them all killed. And there was one son who escaped to the king of Ammon, to Nochash. This was mentioned in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud. When the king died, David decided he wanted to be Menachem Avol and inquire about the welfare of his son. That was Chanun was the son. Chanun ben Nochash. And there was a whole story, Chanun ben Nochash cut off their beards and he cut their clothing and he disgraced them and then it broke out into a war. But eventually this Chanun saw the light. And he became a ger, he converted. And this Chanun ben Nochash is now the Shovi ben Nochash from Ammon. Because we know there was the leader in Ammon was Nochash, and we know, and he's coming from the city, so Chazal says, the Shovi ben Nochash Meravas ben Ammon was that king of Ammon who was Magayir, who became a convert. He's one person who came to David. Umachir ben Amiel milo devor. And there was Machir ben Amiel came from a place lo devor, which we've mentioned before. David had wanted to do a favor, a chesed, with somebody from Shaul's family. And he found out that Shaul's son, Yehonasan, had a son, Mephibosheth, and he was lame. And then he spoke to Tziva, who was the slave in the household of Shaul. And he heard that Mephibosheth was staying by the house of Machir ben Amiel, in the place Lo Divar. That was the person who had done a chesed with Shaul's family. That was the second person who came to David. And the third one was Barzilai Hagilodi Meroglim. Barzilai Hagilodi came from the place Roglim. And we'll talk about Barzilai more in a later parak. Mishkov, they brought bedding. Vesapos is bowls or pots. They brought things that could be used in the kitchen for food. Ukliotzer, other types of pottery. Bechitim, wheat, usayrim, and barley. Vekemach, flour. Vekoli, either they took the kernels and they parched them and they would eat the kernel. It was sweet, they'd eat the kernels. Or perhaps they made the flour out of this parched grain. Bakuli is when you singe the kernel in fire. Simply, chitim and sorim, the wheat and the barley, were brought to David and he could hold on to that probably for a few months. You know, that's for long-term use. And for right now, there's flour, there's kemach, and there's this kuli, the sweet grain that's parched over the fire. Upol, he brought beans, vadoshim, and lentils, vekoli. Some unfortunately say the beans and the legumes were parched and singed over the fire. But he brought food that was ready to eat. Udvash with honey, vechemon, butter, vitzon, and sheep. Ushvos bokar. Shvos bokar, they say, means cheeses. And shvos here means to like grind, to press, to crush. Because you work the milk and you beat it to curdle it and to make cheese out of it. And part of the cheese process, so shvos bokar, it means the cheese that comes from cow's milk. And all these different foods, higishu leDavid, they brought to David, v'la'oma sherito v'lechol, and to the people that were with him. And they brought it all to David and his people to eat. Ki omru, because they said, ha'om, the people, roiv, are hungry, v'oyef, and weary, v'tzomei, and thirsty, by midbar in the desert. So they brought all of these supplies for the people. And again, it doesn't say, ki omru David v'ha'om, even though they brought it to David and the people, it's not proper to say David needs them and David's hungry. But they brought it to David and the people, and they said the people obviously is hungry and weary, and this will hopefully boost their spirits. So both in their physical nourishment, and it again was a support David HaMelech was able to see in the midst of his difficulty. There's a sign, Mina Shemayim, these three people come from three different places. As he arrives in Machanoim, Kivo David Machanoim, as he came to this city, it seems to me it happened right when he came, three people came from three different places. One from Ammon, and one from Lo Devar, and somebody else from Roglim, and they brought him these supplies. Okay, stop here. Okay, sure.